I'm going to talk to you this morning from Genesis 32. This has been a hard week. I'm not going to say that one of these Sundays, you guys, so don't lose faith in me. This has been a hard week, but we're deeply grateful for your prayers, and I believe the mentoring group and the Women Seeking God group joining forces and having a joint prayer meeting for our family when I had to leave suddenly on Tuesday. I believe that was God-ordered as far as them making that decision to join together. And I believe sometimes things, and I've almost preached on this today, but I'm not going to, but I think sometimes, you know, God has ability to work in all things for good. What the devil means for harm, God can use for good. And we had a difficult situation to deal with this week, and the groups came together at Guy and Colleen's suggestions, and they prayed diligently for our family, and I personally think it broke a stronghold. And I'll not go into that, but I think that there was some spiritual warfare going on, and I think it's interesting how God can work in all things for good. Not sure what all I'm going to say this morning, and I don't have my verses for the iPad, so that's okay. I want to talk to you about Jacob's wrestling match, and not sure, as I said, what all I'm going to say. Genesis 32, 22 through 31. This is an awesome story. We studied this last year in our mentoring group, going through Leaders of the Bible. This is just an incredible story. I have difficulty determining what's my favorite sections of the Bible. It kind of depends, different things at different times, but this is definitely a favorite story of mine. Jacob's wrestling match with God, Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 through 31. I'm going to read that and then want to just say a few things about it and then get into the meat of it. That night, Jacob got up and took his wives and his two maidservants and his 11 sons and crossed the ford. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. I want you to notice that it says a man wrestled with him. And when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched. And he wrestled with the man. He touched the socket of his hip so that it was wrenched or possibly out of joint. And he continued to wrestle with the man. I don't know if you've had a bone out of joint. Vince is the monitor on up here, the main monitor, because last time that corrected that. I'll move this over in front of that speaker. If you get a shoulder out of joint, that's some. I see some of you nodding. That's some powerful, powerful pain. To be in a wrestling match and have a hip out of joint or a shoulder out of joint. Painful, painful night. Says he wrestled with a man. He sent his wives and his possessions and all that he had on across the river. And there alone he wrestled with a man. Let's talk for just a second about the background here a little bit of Jacob. This is real important this morning because I believe every true believer, now if you're playing at this thing, that's something else. You're just a church attender, try to do some good things. That's another category. But I believe every true believer that's serious about following Christ, which is what brings all the favor and reward and blessing and infilling of the Spirit, every true believer that's serious is going to have a wrestling match. You're going to have a wrestling match. And it'll be in different forms, so I'm not going to nail this down too tight. But there'll be a wrestling match that you'll be in, where God wants you to wrestle out some things. Jacob had a pretty checkered past. He had had some treachery in his life. Every true believer, I believe, will have this wrestling match. I have written here in my notes, from the time I was 20 till I was 29, working at Kroger's was a wrestling match. Bob Moore's here this morning. It's great to have him here. Bob, you remember us wrestling with some things? God wanted to make me a minister. I thought I was ready. I wasn't ready. You know, when you think you're ready, you're usually not. When you think you're ready, you're usually not. God appeared to Moses at the burning bush. When Moses was a young man, he'd stepped up and said, "Make me leader of Israel." And he even had killed an Egyptian and hit him in the sand. Took charge, doing things in his own strength, doing it his own way. God sent him to the backside of the mountain to wrestle. God sent him to the back, see it again. God sent him to the backside of the mountain to wrestle and be a shepherd. Shepherd, the profession of being a shepherd was an abomination to the Egyptians, and he had been raised in Pharaoh's home. He was put in a vocation where he didn't even want to be and didn't fit and had been taught was an abomination. You didn't even sit with a shepherd. A shepherd was a dirty guy in the wilderness. You didn't sit with him. And God sent him to the backside of the mountain to be a shepherd for 40 years. And then the bush caught on fire and it did not go out, and it burned and it burned and it burned. And he recognized this is something strange. He'd been wrestling and wrestling and wrestling with his issues. And it was then that the power of God's Spirit, and boy, we can go lots of directions with this, because he had gone through the wrestling, because he had persevered through the wrestling, and because he had been on the backside of the mountain, he was now open to receive what God would do. And through the burning bush, God spoke to him and said, "Go lead my people out of Egypt. I am that I am. Tell them that I am sent you." And what did Moses say? "I can't do this. I can't do this. Get my brother. Get someone else. I can't do this." When we don't think we're ready, we're ready. And boy, when we say, "Let me at him," we're not ready. God has to wrestle us out of our pride. He has to wrestle us down and humble us. I had 8 or 9 years of my life that was a wrestling match in my life, where God continually put me in extremely difficult situations. Jacob had a treacherous past. He had a treacherous past. He had stole Esau's birthright, his brother. In Genesis 27, he had lied to his father. Remember, the word Jacob means deceiver. He and his mother had made a deal, for he had conned Esau out of his birthright. The firstborn in the Israeli family was to get the birthright. And Esau had come in. Listen. Esau had come in from hunting, and he was tired and famished, and Jacob offered him some stew and said, "Give me your birthright and I'll get you something to eat." And it says that Esau despised his birthright and said, "Sure, I'll trade it off." And the power of words, that was far deeper than a bowl of soup and coming in from hunting. It was a man who didn't value his birthright. Don't sell your birthright. You're called to be a child of God. Don't sell your birthright. There's all kinds of people in Miami, Cass, Fulton County, selling their birthright for a hot cup of soup that they can have right now. Anybody with me? Devil's great at offering you a hot cup of soup. You can have it right now. Boy, won't this be good? This will satisfy you right now, and right now this problem will be fixed. Don't sell your birthright. Wait on the Lord, and he will bring you the inheritance, and he'll do it his way, and it'll be a beautiful thing. How quick we often are to sell our birthright for a mess of pottage. We hate to see someone do that. I've recently been praying for somebody that I believe unintentionally may be selling their birthright. And there's times when I wasn't ready to go into the ministry at 20 years old, and I thought I was, but I wasn't. And I needed to wrestle. And there's the time for waiting and all that, but bottom line, don't sell your birthright. Keep persevering. Stay with the wrestling match. So Jacob had conned Esau out of the birthright. His mother, who favored him, knew that it was time a few years later for his father Isaac to give the blessing. Isaac had called Esau in, the eldest son, Jacob and Esau, brothers. Isaac had called Esau in and said, "My son," I liked in the old English, it says, "go out and get some venison." And it says, "venison that my soul loveth." I always give Pam that scripture in deer season. See, it's scriptural to go deer hunting. And so Esau took off, and when Esau took off to go find venison, Rebekah called Jacob in and said, "Your father is about to give the blessing to Esau. Go in quickly. Let's fix some goat meat here, and let's spice this up real good. Your daddy is blind and in his older years, and let's go in, and you get the blessing." Jacob, deceiver. He said, "How can I do that? Esau is a hairy man. He looks like Kevin Smith. He's got a big beard, and he's got, and I'm a smooth man, he said. And she said, "Come here." And boy, Rebecca was a something, wasn't she? So Rebecca takes him in, and they take goat's hair and put it around his neck and put it on his arms, because they knew that wise, blind daddy would reach out and feel him. So she put Esau's clothes on him so he would smell like the outdoors. And get this, you talk about a conniver. He goes in with the seasoned goat meat that tastes like venison, and he's got goat's hair on him. And he goes in and kneels down and says, "I've brought you, father, the venison that your soul loves." And his father says, "Well, this happened kind of quick." And Jacob says, "Well, the Lord brought it quickly for me." And here they're lying to him. And then there's an interesting passage, and boy, it would be easy to have ADD and run off on this one. Of course, I never do that. There's an interesting passage then. He reached up and felt the hair, and he said, "It feels like Esau, but the voice is Jacob." Listen to the voice. Not how it feels. Listen to the voice of the Lord, the word of the Lord, not how it feels. You know how many people come to me that are selling their birthright, and I say, "Don't do this," and they say, "Oh, but it feels so right. It felt like Esau, but it was Jacob." And the father said a wise thing, even though he ended up deceived. He said, "It feels like Esau. Smells like Esau," if I can ad lib that doesn't say that he said that. I don't recall that anyway. Not reading it. But know the story well. He had worn Esau's clothes, so there was the smell of the outdoors, and this sure tasted like the savory venison that he loved. "It feels like Esau, but the voice is Jacob." Listen to the voice. Listen to the voice. And he went ahead and blessed him. and he had no more blessed him and given him priority. And boy, here again, I could have ADD, but I won't. The Father's blessing is a great thing. Maybe Father's Day we'll talk about that again. But this thing of the Father's blessing, Isaac laid hands on Jacob and gave him the fruit of the land and put his blessing on him. Fathers, do you have a blessing to give? I want to live a life that I have a blessing to give. Unfortunately, in our culture today, we don't do the blessing thing because I don't think very many people have one to give. I want to live a life where I've got a blessing. I've got a blessing to give. And I want to tell you something. It isn't about your name. It isn't about your education. It isn't about how many scriptures you know by memory. You walk with God, men. You walk with God. You have a blessing for your sons and daughters. You'll have a blessing. And if you're in a situation where your own sons and daughters don't see it, because sometimes that happens. The prodigal sons, the prodigal daughters, sometimes they don't see. God will send you people who want your blessing. And I have had people in periods of time in my life, and I say this very compassionately, but they would be fine with this. I've had seasons in my life maybe where, you know, you had wayward things going on and maybe people didn't really want your blessing. God will send you people that say, could I have your blessing? Because they see it on you. I want to have a blessing. So Jacob had a checkered past. He gets the blessing that he stole. It says he had no more left Isaac's presence, his blind father. He had no more hurried out the door until Esau comes in. Oh boy, this is a nasty family scar. Esau comes in and kneels down and says, oh my father, bless me. And it says that Isaac's voice trembled and he said, who is this? Who is this? And he said, this is Esau. And he said, I have already given the blessing to Jacob. I don't know if Isaac knew it or not, but that deal had been made a long time ago over that bowl of soup. Because it says way back then that Esau despised his blessing. So Jacob has a checkered past. He flees because Esau's going to kill him. Esau is going to kill him. And his mother took him aside and said, you better get out of here. Go to my uncle Laban. Miles and miles away. Go to my uncle Laban's house and stay there and get out of here because I overheard Esau say that as soon as daddy passes away, I'm killing Jacob. Wow. Now, back to the text. What's this wrestling match about? Years have passed. The blessing has come true, for a blessing is a blessing. And Jacob has married and flourished and has lots of goods and animals and a huge farm. But the time has come to settle with Esau. The time to pay the piper always comes. And we'll not read through it, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, leaving out some parts. But this setting that I'm reading to you about the wrestling match, Esau and Jacob are getting ready to meet each other the next day. And Jacob hears that Esau is on his way with 300 men. Oh, shoot. Oh, shoot. How many? I believe the text says 300. Don't let me misquote it. Jacob says, girls, we need to have a family meeting here. I didn't tell you the whole story on this thing about the birthright, but we got a situation here. You think? And he says to his wives, you go on across the river and you go over here into a protected place, and he takes the servants with him, and it says then he alone wrestles with a man. Boy, I could go lots of directions with this. I'm asking the Spirit to lead me on this for what you need. There are some times of wrestling, and sometimes it's a result of our checkered past. Our name's Deceiver. Jacob is a deceiver. And let me say something. Jacob hadn't had his wrestling match yet. We just started reading about it. But God had showed up along the way in Jacob's life. Do you see that? Just because God shows up along the way doesn't mean you're living in right with him. He's a good, good father. Just because God shows up, I hear people say, well, I don't think I'm doing so bad. They're no more surrendered to anything. They're flirting with the world all the time. They're riding the fence. You can see it. They got any fruit in their life. You know a tree by its fruit. And when you bring up to them something about God, you know what they say? I've heard this 1,000 times. Well, now God's been real good to me, and I know I'm not perfect, but I'm this and that. And they're not surrendered to the Lord whatsoever. God's a good, good father. He is a good, good father. And just because he shows up from time to time in our life doesn't mean we're in surrender to him. You know where radical change comes? When we go ahead with the wrestling and let God change us. We're going to read here in a minute where the deceiver Jacob, and that's what Jacob means, wrestled with a man. It's 2 a.m. We're sweaty. We're rolling in the dirt. This is getting messy and ugly. And he's wrestling with a man. And he's rolling some more in the dirt. And he's got thistles in his hair. And he's wrestling with the man. And then the man hits him just right and knocks his hip out of joint. Oh, that's a terrible, painful thing to have a hip out of joint. And the wrestling match continues. And now we're wrestling. And there's a lot of pain involved. Anybody going through some painful stuff from checkered past? Stick with the match. Stick with the match. Stick with the wrestling match. Because at daybreak, the man, and I'll come back to that, said, "What is your name? What is your name?" The reason for the wrestling match is God's trying to get us to say our name. Instead of being in denial about ourselves. And when we say our name, appreciate Dan's work. Dan, you here somewhere? Yes, he isn't. Appreciate Dan's work with the 12 step and the bikers group. Appreciate Vince's work with Thursday night 12 step because they kind of overlap in a way. Got to say your name. You got to say your name. We're going to stay there. We're not 30 years from now still saying the same name. We're a new creature in Christ. Old things pass away and all things become new. And that appeals to all of us, but it's found in saying your name. And he wrestled with a man and he rolled in the dirt and he got dirty and he had thistles in his hair and then his hip came out of joint about 2:45. Oh no, and it's 4 hours till daylight. Oh man, this has ever hurt. Now if you want to wrestle and mess with this strong guy I'm wrestling with, and now I got a hip out of joint, and it's a painful thing. And finally at daybreak, the man said, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob the deceiver." And the man said, "You will no longer be the deceiver, but you will be a prince of Israel." And change comes at the end of the painful wrestling match when we say our name. And when the girls on the street in Chicago would come to the place instead of throwing off and giving all the excuses and blaming everybody else for what they were doing and say, "Yes, I have some pain and checkered past. Yes, I was abused as a child. Yes, but I also made some choices in this. And I am a prostitute who sells my body on the street. And that is my name." You can be changed powerfully into a pure and holy person. Change comes when we say our name. What is your name now? Notice at the end, and I didn't read all the scripture yet. Let me quickly hit this so nobody's lost because some have more understanding than others. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched and he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it's daybreak." And Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And the man said, "What is your name?" Jacob, which the literal Hebrew is deceiver. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be deceiver, but you will be Israel. The prince is the Hebrew. When he said, I'm the deceiver, he said, when he coughed it out, when he squeezed it out through the pain and the wrestling and the out of joint hip, and finally he said, yes, I'm a deceiver. I'm the guy that stole my brother's birthright. I'm the guy that, yes, mom was involved, and yes, we schemed together, but I'm the guy that made the choice to go in and put goat's hair on me. I'm the man, I'm the deceiver. And when he said those words and said his name, the man said, you will no longer be deceiver, but Israel or the prince. Because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome. Then Jacob said, tell me your name. And he replied, why do you ask my name? You're not going to tell him your name. Then he blessed him there. And Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face. Now, wait a second. It says he wrestled with a man. But we get the hint as they wrestle that this is a pretty powerful, who is this that he's wrestling with? When he asked, Jacob asked his name, he wasn't going to tell him. But when the fight was over, he said, I've seen God face to face. You can believe anything you want on this. I believe this is a wrestling match with Jesus. But the principle is what I want to talk to you about. We can get lost in that. Who is this? And we had some fun in the mentoring group. Who was this being? Some think it was an angel. But he said, I saw God face to face. Okay, stay with me and I'm going to close and I'm done with this. God spoke to me early this morning that the point I needed to get across to you, because we'd go lots of directions, my mind's often flooded with things that could be said. It starts out by saying I wrestled with a man, but it ends up saying I saw God face to face. May I introduce you to the idea, the powerful, powerful truth that the wrestles you have with man, if you belong to him, are really with God. The wrestling you have with man, and sometimes that man is you. When they came in my room and told me I had leukemia and that I was in a medical emergency and my white count was 137,000 and I was already bleeding out my nose and they said I would not live the night and need to get a hold of my family, Tom and Tom had some wrestling. Sometimes the man you're wrestling with yourself. Sometimes it's with somebody else. But when you belong to him, the good, good father, your wrestling matches with men are really with God. Pam, you know, and I know, and some of you know, but Pam and I probably know that any more than anybody what Kelsey has gone through in this horrible divorce with Christy. But I've been emailing over and over back and forth with Kelsey, and Kelsey has wrestled with God and seen him. Through this divorce, he came to a new level of surrender. Through this divorce, he wrestled in the mud and got in the briars and rolled around arguing, was this my fault? Was this her fault? Oh, I remember when I did this. I wish I hadn't done that. Maybe the reason she's bitter at me is because I did this. Wrestling your issues. You with me? Wrestling your issues. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord in Hebrews, because the wrestling match is what squeezes out of you the stuff that needs to come out. But when you say your name, you will be changed. Change doesn't come by sitting in a pew and singing Amazing Love. I love the song, not being irreverent. Radical change doesn't occur by learning Jesus loves me and being able to sing it. Radical change comes when we open our heart to the surgeon and let him cut in there and cut out some ugly stuff. Anybody with me? And we say our name. And their church is packed with people that have never said their name. If they would ever wrestle down and say, I am desperately proud, Mary. I am desperately prideful, Susie. I'm the deceiver. I'm immoral, George. I'm on it goes, it goes, it goes. And when we say her name, and it's said after wrestling, and it's said after rolling in the mud, and it's said after having our hip out of joint, and we cough out her name, it's interesting that immediately, goes with 2 Corinthians 5:17, we're a new creation in Christ, old things pass away, all things become new. Immediately. He didn't say, okay, now you go off and study these passages and you go to 150 Bible studies and in 15 years, we'll see what we can do about it. Immediately after he said, my name is Deceiver, he said, you will no longer be deceiver. That's awesome. Sorry, I get so worked up. But this is really good stuff. You know why I can preach on this with passion? Because I've been through it. I had some horrible wrestling matches in my life. Sometimes it was with myself. I was hard-headed, strong-willed, my mother pure German. The Beaverfordens, doesn't that sound German? The Beaverfordens came over from Germany, and that's my grandpa. And incidentally, he had a Harley Davidson. Mom told me that before she died. She said, you know, this is an ADD moment. Said he had a Harley. He used to park it inside by the stove, and all eight girls in the family, mom being one of them, would get to look at it, but they couldn't touch it. Thought that was interesting. What in the world was I talking about before that? Beaverforden, strong-willed. Sometimes the wrestling matches was with myself. Interesting, Don wrestled with a man, but when the fight was over, he said, I saw the face of God. Sometimes when we sat in ICU for 6 weeks, like we did, with a son that we dearly love, trying to figure out what does this mean, the accident happened on the same day. How could that be? The same day. Wrestle, wrestle, wrestle. But when you come up and say, it's okay, it's all right. Here's my name. My name's confused. Lord, my name's confused, but I give it to you. And it's okay, and I embrace this, and I praise you in the storm. And did you ever know that you're my hero? Despite that my name is confused, and when you say your name, he'll say you're no longer confused, or you're no longer a deceiver, but you are a prince. And change comes at the end of the wrestling match. Oh, we wrestled with a man, but he said, I saw the face of God. Sometimes it's with somebody else. God's telling me, thumbing my back to go back to that. I hate church splits. 30-some years ago, see, I'm 61, yeah. 30-some years ago, about 30 years ago, we had a church split. Church, first church I pastored, off to a good start. You know, I look back, the principles of what we were trying to do, I would do over. I've fought that and wrestled with it 1,000 times. We had grown, and I met with the leaders of that particular church, and we couldn't build because the city wouldn't let us because we were landlocked where we were, and we had gospel concerts on Sunday night, and we'd have cars parked all the way down 19, and we'd have fire marshal having a fit. We'd have 250 people in a place that'd seat 120, and there's cars in people's yards, and everybody's upset, and we was going to build, and we couldn't find any land, and nothing would work out, and the Christian Missionary Alliance contacted me. I didn't call them. They contacted me. I was practicing music with Rod and Tom Carell one morning. We had trio, and we sang together. Later, my brother came on as a fourth singer, and we had a quartet, and chapel quartet. We had so much fun together going places and singing. And one morning, we get a phone call, and we're practicing. It's the Christian, it's the extension director for the Paul Edwardson from the Christian Missionary Alliance. He said, is this Tom Robbins? And I said, yes. And he told me who it was. I didn't know him. And he said, we heard you're looking for a building. We're closing the Christian Missionary Alliance Church on the north end of town, and we have an unbelievable deal. And they offered us three acres on a state highway, the entire church, all the furniture, all the musical equipment, the PA and everything for $62,000. Well, I thought we'd be crazier and crazy not to take advantage of the cheapest thing we had drawn up to build was 150. And they said, we just want somebody to take it over. We know you got roots with the Christian Marine Alliance, and we know your doctrine. We want to go into good hands, and we'll let you have the entire thing for $62,000. Well, I really was for that and felt, wrestled it out and felt we were supposed to. Well, it didn't go over very well. Nobody's fault, no axes to grind, but caused a split in the church and ended up people were upset. And looking back, I think we did the right thing. But can I tell you something? Sometimes your wrestling is with a man. But if you'll stay open, you'll see things in yourself. That was 30 years ago. If I had it to do over, I'd have handled some things different. I wasn't nasty to anybody. I didn't go against God's word and act horrible in board meeting, but I would do a lot of things different because I've had some time to wrestle. It says that he wrestled with a man all night, but when the wrestling match was over, it says, I have seen the face of God. Your conflicts can end up powerful experiences of change in your life, and you'll see the face of God. Kelsey has seen the face of God. I use Kelsey because Kelsey wouldn't care. I have a great relationship with Kelsey. We're very close. And Christy's been here and sung, and our heart was broken over the breakup. But Kelsey has seen the face of God. I see a difference in him. Everybody that knows him sees a difference. He went to God and said, part of this is my fault. I know all society's looking on and saying, Christy left me and this and this and this, and she did make some rather huge mistakes. But he said, I need to fess up on some problems I've had. And he sent an email to all of his family and told things that he had done, part of the wrestling. But I'm going to tell you something. I saw a change in that guy. I got together with him, and he about glowed. He's crying. He's broken over his marriage, but he'd almost glowed when I talked to him and met him in South Bend a while back. Sometimes your wrestling match is with yourself. Sometimes it's with somebody else. But I'll tell you something. God is in those things if you hunt for him and you want him. And I don't know what you're in the middle of right now. I had a wrestling match with a guy I worked with. It was impossible. But I look back, the face of God was in that. I worked with a bitter, bitter man. I thought I was ready to be in the ministry, and I wasn't. I thought I knew what I was doing, and I didn't. And God put me with a guy in a department at Kroger's, and we were stuck right together all the time, and this guy was bitter. His father had been a leader in a church. I found this out later. I didn't know it at first, but it explained why he was so bitter. His father had been a leader in a church and was a horrible example. And while living the life of faking it out on Sunday was horribly immoral. Horribly immoral. I won't go any further with that, but horribly immoral. And that made this son hate Christians. And God put me in that department and had me working right next to that guy 8 hours a day. We worked together, right together. He made fun of me constantly. He would sing Amazing Grace to the top of his lungs in the back room and change the words to profanity. He told me one day, he said, the best thing you could do for me is get cancer and die. I'm sick of you. I hate Christians. I was wrestling hard. But the face of God was in that. Working with that guy for 3 years has given me a patience with people that I wouldn't have had. And the face of God was in that. And there came a day when he and I became friends, and he broke down and he told me about his father, and we became friends. And to this day, when I see him, he's still not really found his way. But to this day, when I see him occasionally at a funeral home or something, he'll come up and hug me and say, hi, Tom. And we've made friends. Your deepest conflicts, those deep struggles that tear out your heart, the face of God is in it if you're open. And if you're looking for it. I have no idea where I am in my notes. These don't even make sense. Did I write these? I need to quit. Last thing I have written with exclamation point is radical change. And I'm glad I turned to that. I did that this morning. I have written there, do you know you can call off the wrestling match at any time? Don't call it off. You're going to have change. You're going to have breakthrough. Don't call it off. Maybe your wrestling match is that impossible person you work with like I had. Maybe your wrestling match is an ugly breakup in a relationship you had that tore your heart out like Kelsey. He wrestled with a man, and when he was done, he said, I saw the face of God. But you can call the match off at any time. Lord, I had enough. Anybody ever felt that way? I have. Pam and I have had a couple times in our life, and we said, you know what? We're gonna pack our stuff and slip out in the night. Nobody will know where to leave a note. Left, and we can't remember where we went. Can I just tell you a little story? One time I was frustrated out of my mind, working with all kinds of people, and had four teenage boys at home, and just frustrated out of my mind. And I said to Pam, and God hears every word, I was going to call off the wrestling match. Now, I wasn't going to leave the Lord, but I was going to call off the wrestling match. This is rolling around the dirt here. We're not getting anywhere. And I said to Pam, I said, I'm going to put, I remember I said it real distinctly because I was aggravated. I said, I'm going to put a sign in the front yard that's 12 feet long and 6 feet high. And it's going to have two words on it. It's going to say, I quit. I said that. I went out to the mailbox. God lets you pop off. And sometimes you need to vent a little bit. I wish I hadn't said that, but I went out the mailbox and I opened the mailbox. And you can tell him I told this story this morning. He's a good friend. I went out the mailbox and there was a note in the mailbox from Phil and Charlotte Cruey. And it said, I don't know why I sent this exactly, but I was thinking of you today, and I'll never forget when you walked up on my porch as a stranger and pastor after my son was killed at a party. You'll never know the difference you made in my life. We love you, and we'll always remember that special day. And I stood at the mailbox and cried and said, Lord, I'm not quitting. Now, he's tender to you. See, he knew that I had four teenage boys at home. Pam was playing taxi service to North Miami and putting 100 miles a day on the car. And we was trying to look after church, and we had lots going on. And we were trying to work with people with all kinds of problems. And I was just about out of bullets. I'm not so sure I wasn't out of pistols. And I hollered in desperation, I quit. God knew I didn't really mean that. But isn't that neat how the good, good Father had that in the mailbox that morning? Come on. He is a good, good Father. That's who he is. That's who he is. He's a good, good Father. And he loves you. And that's who you are. But you've got to wrestle it out. And don't call off the match. You call off the match, you don't get to change. You got to stay with it. All right. Let's stand for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this group and everyone here today. Thank you for the beautiful songs. Thank you for the prayer time. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for helping me on a difficult week to share things that you've given me. I'd ask you to plant this in our hearts. You know, I can stand on my head and jump up and down, and I can't make this produce anything. But your spirit can plant the truth. And you can apply it to each one. There's things that don't apply to some. Things that may apply to others. You know how to do that. I ask that you use this message because I believe it's the heart of the gospel. Give us endurance for the wrestling match. Thank you for the change that you bring. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.